Hi, my name is Emily Ernest, and I work with University of Delaware Cooperative Extension as an associate scientist with the Vegetable and Fruit Program. And among my responsibilities is the Lima Bean Breeding Program, which I started in 2004. So you're probably all wondering why lima beans, and I won't show you any world statistics for lima bean production, because about half of them are grown in Delaware. But lima beans are an important part, the keystone crop for our processing vegetable industry in the region, and they're valued at about $11 million for Delaware, which is that tiny green blob over there by the Atlantic Ocean. So, also, you're probably wondering, what is lima bean, maybe? So, similar to Phaseolus vulgaris, common bean, which you're probably more familiar with, there were two domestication events for lima bean, one that happened in the Andes and one that happened in Central America, and that will become important as I go on with this talk. Lima beans are perennial, but not in Delaware. But because of that, they tend to set flowers indeterminately, and they can reflower on existing racemes, and they will flower until they reach a capacity set, which creates problems when they're exposed to heat stress because it results in split sets. We're harvesting with a once-over mechanical harvest at the succulent stage, and so we don't want dry beans in there. So we experience yield loss when we have split sets, and heat stress also causes delayed harvest or reduced yields. And our growers indicate that heat stress-related yield loss is their biggest production problem in our area, and it's not getting any better. So these are some of the genotypes that I'm going to talk about that I've used in the experiments. The two heat-sensitive genotypes are both commercial cultivars that are used in Delaware, Ford Hook 242 and Sea Elite Select. Ford Hook 242 is an Andean type that has large seeds, and then the Mesoamerican types are all small-seeded. So you'll notice that all the heat-tolerant genotypes that are there are all small-seeded. The experiments that I'm going to describe are mostly carried out in these greenhouse chambers that were set up to be separately controlled from the rest of the greenhouse. And the goal was to have high nighttime temperatures, about 80 degrees Fahrenheit in the hot chamber and 65 degrees Fahrenheit at night in the cool chamber. Most of the experiments are randomized complete block designs with 5 replications. And so what I looked at were various yield components from these plants, and then also looking at some physiological characteristics from flowering. So just to give you an idea of what happens with as far as yield loss from heat stress in lima beans, I'm going to have several charts that follow this same format. So the blue bars are the plants growing in the cool chamber, the orange ones are the ones in the hot chamber, and the error bars are 95% confidence intervals for the means. Asterisks indicate that there was a significant difference between the hot and the cool chamber using an orthogonal contrast for that specific genotype. And the dotted line separates the heat susceptible and heat tolerant genotypes. So the heat tolerant genotypes are over on the right hand side, and you can see that there's less yield loss in those in terms of weight of seeds per plant under heat stress. And this is just a visual of individual plant yields. For heat sensitive, up there on the top row of seeds is what we got out of the cool chamber. Bottom row of seeds is what came out of the hot chamber. So you see for Ford Hook 242, there was one seed, and that's all that there is in that one row. And then the bottom is the heat tolerant. So similar yields across the top row for the cool chamber and the hot chamber on the bottom row. So As I've been doing this work, I've tried to look at all of these different parts of what goes into getting yield in lima bean, starting with flower initiation, looking at various parts of the reproductive process, embryo development, and then seed maturation. I'm not going to talk about all of these things today, but I have tried to look at all these things. And across all of that, photosynthesis and carbohydrate availability is important. And when I first started working with lima beans, what I was told was that that was probably what the problem was. However, that's not what, as far as heat stress goes, that's not what I am thinking is going on at this point. So one thing I did was look at dry weight of the leaves and stems for these plants that were grown in the hot versus cool chambers. You can see that in the hot chamber, the weight of leaves and stems was higher for those plants. They were not stressed as far as photosynthesizing or accumulating carbohydrates. And what we see is excessive branching in the hot chamber. So the plant on the left is one that grew in the hot chamber. You'll see that there are no pods on there. We took all the leaves off. That didn't occur naturally. So no pods, but lots of stems, whereas the one in the cool night temperature chamber, we had lots of pods, not so many stems. And we think this is just a partitioning problem that happens because there's no seed to send the carbohydrates to. When we look at the total above ground dry weight, so that includes the pods, the seeds, the leaves, and the stems for these genotypes, the hot chamber and the cool chamber, there's no difference between the genotypes. So looking more at yield components, for the number of pods per plant, there's not a difference between the hot and cool chamber for the heat-tolerant genotypes, but there is a significant difference for the heat-susceptible genotypes. And then the yield component that is most affected by heat is the number of seeds per pod. So across all of the genotypes, there was a reduction in the number of seeds produced per pod when they were grown under high night temperature conditions. And that leads us to thinking about something going on with reproductive structures, pollen, and flowers. So since I spent a lot of time looking at flowers from these plants that came out of the hot chamber and the cool chamber, one thing that I started noticing is that in the hot chamber, the stigma tend to be extruded from the keel. So these are self-pollinated. All the pistil and the anthers are supposed to be coiled up inside of the keel. But under heat stress, especially for Ford Hook 242, there tended to be a lot of flowers that had the stigma outside of the keel. And that could interfere with pollen getting on there and affecting fertilization. So another thing that we noticed, especially with Ford Hook 242, is some other deformities in reproductive structures. So the anthers ending up outside the keel along with the stigma. And the tip of the stigma being bent back or deformed. And so that was, there was a significantly higher number of deformed flowers for Ford Hook 242 in the hot chamber. The other genotypes that we looked at, not so much. I also did a lot of counting of pollen that was shed onto the stigma and style of for these different genotypes, and this is the number of pollen grains plotted against the yield under heat stress, and there is a pretty significant correlation there between those two factors. And so then the question is, where's the pollen? And it tends to be retained in the anthers for all of the genotypes that we looked at, except C. elite select. We found a significantly higher number of pollen grains that was remaining in the anthers at anthesis when the plants were grown in the hot chamber, and these are some pictures of the stained anthers from these different genotypes. Without a pointer, it's really hard to show you. The cool chamber anthers
are on this side, and then these are amplifiers from the hot chamber, and port of 242 up there, there's a lot of polymer change in those amplifiers, whereas the more heat-tolerant varieties, there's still pollen in the anthers, but they seem to have dehisced a little better.
I also did some in vitro germination, pollen germination experiments, and many of the heat-tolerant varieties had more viable pollen under heat stress than the heat-susceptible varieties. And that, too, was correlated to yield under heat stress. Finally, I did some experiments where I took pollen from plants grown in the cool chamber and made hand pollinations of flowers that were growing in the hot chamber to check. I'm trading out the bad part for a good part and checking processes downstream of pollination. So I did that with C. elite Select, and with cool chamber pollen, I was able to produce a mature pod 33% of the time with Cape Dweller, that's heat-tolerant variety of pollen, and 23% of the time with pollen from C. elite Select, and whereas selfed flowers that were on the same raceme that I tagged on the day that I made the cross only produced a mature pod in 3% of the time. So there's a significant difference there, and it seems that adding the pollen from the cool chamber sort of fixes the heat tolerance problem or heat susceptibility problem for C. elite Select. The Mesoamerican variety that is heat susceptible, but for Forthook 242, the Andean type, I was not really able to get pods produced even with good pollen from the cool chamber. So it's likely that some of those flower deformities that I saw are causing problems as far as fertilization. And so how I'm using this is because we know that high night temperatures are most damaging to yield, I've started using greenhouse screening environments for the breeding program because I need sustained high night temperatures. We've looked at techniques to evaluate the flower morphology characteristics under heat stress. And so I'm not really looking at photosynthesis measuring tools for screening for heat stress tolerance. And I have identified some genotypes that are more heat tolerant, and so working on using them in the breeding program. This is a plot of yield against a number of seeds per pod for a greenhouse screen that I did last summer. Cave Dweller over there is one of the heat-tolerant lines that I've used in the breeding program, and there are some of those inbred lines up there that are similarly heat-tolerant to Cave Dweller. So we're making some progress versus C. elite Select, which is the standard commercial cultivar. Helped me out, and this was funded by a specialty crop block grant from Delaware Department of Agriculture.
So we got one more minute. Okay, please.